Thanks for tuning in to the Campaigns of the Plains channel. Catch new material every Friday on YouTube and make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. Now, on with the show.
And right. Welcome back to Campaigns of Plains. This is D&D Season 2. Guys, we are live every Friday on YouTube with new episodes coming right at you.
No, what?
We are coming fresh. Fresh coming on Fridays here on YouTube. So make sure that you check us out. Give us a like, follow, subscribe, do all that silly stuff that they say at the beginning of the videos that I'm doing right now. So that way we know that you guys like watching it, or, you know, leave a comment on what you'd like to see, or do whatever you need to do. Anyway, we also have some social medias down here, so you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I think we have a TikTok swimming around somewhere. But, you know, we get it. Sometimes you can't always have YouTube up. You know, you shouldn't probably have it up when you're driving or maybe at work, but in those cases, we got you covered, don't we, Travis?
You Tesla drivers.
Absolutely, we do. Go to your favorite podcast platforms, whether that's Apple Music, Google Podcast, Amazon Music, or Spotify. There's a ton of others out there, a bunch of niche ones, but go there, search for Campaigns of the Plains. Make sure to like, subscribe to that channel so that you get notifications every time we drop a new audio, and that is every Wednesday. We do it at 7 a.m. Central Time. That way you have enough time to download it before you hit your commute, and you can safely enjoy us as you trudge through hump day. Like Josh said, make sure to like and follow us on all of our socials too, because we also post updates for our podcast there as well, and we're looking for more subscribers.
That's right. Well,
yeah, we're giving Josh highlights, some frosted tips.
500 YouTube subscribers.
500 YouTube subscribers.
Oh, I forgot I was supposed to make a bunch of
papers. We're frosting Josh's tips. Spotting.
Yeah. Anyway, you want to tell us what happened last time, Alicia?
Becky died.
Oh, okay.
This is really dramatic. Oh. That's it.
That's it?
That's not it.
Just Becky died.
Becky died. There's a lot more that happened.
The airship died. I almost died.
A couple times.
Oh, God. It was a bad day. Okay, my first note is chase scene with an exclamation point. This is an exclamation point, I guess. Snake missile. What? Oh!
That's me.
Oh, yeah.
Great, because
this was pretty awesome.
Because I did a whirlwind on top of Marquise's unconscious body and he didn't watch it. No.
Yes. Yep.
I don't know if he knows.
His paralyzed unconscious body was yeeted off the ship.
It sure was. Marquise is planking in the air. Marquise. That was my next note. Because he was still stiff.
Giggity.
Milos' leg implant keeps spreading, so that's happening. We are crashing, underline. Brace for impact, double underline.
We are crashing.
Another happy landing, crashing. I guess. Pop off the bangle. Oh, Ellie popped off the bangle to try and summon a hero. And she summoned a young girl with blonde hair. Description. It was Riku. Guys, if you haven't played 10, play 10. It's Riku. And Riku, thankfully, I rolled at least not a bomb, because that could happen. And she did Veil of the Grave on Becky, so she's got 10 days before she starts to stink again, basically. And she can't turn into an undead or an unsent or any of those things for 10 days, so that's nice too. Oh, and when Riku left, she left behind a journal written in Albed that only Milos can read, and it's a journal of mixing from Riku and a component bag. Please let there be Phoenix down the recipe or something. That'd be great. That's just me wishful thinking. It would really be great if Marquise could learn the potion, the restoration potion that he could throw at people. That'd be super helpful.
Viewers, please give the good vibes.
Yeah. Somebody bribe the DM so that he gives us that. Thank you. Someone in the desert. Oh, traveling group of Gariffs, and they were the originators of geomancy. But then the Hrothgar attacked the Gariff tribe. But there was something odd about the Hrothgar. And they murdered everyone, and then they did an exclamation point again. Royal armor is weird, old style. Oh, the royal armor that the Hrothgar was wearing. Because all of the giraffes are dead. White robed figure in green mask was with the Hrothgar, and they're looking for the traitor prince and disposed queen. And then I made another, like, I was going to make another note, but I didn't write anything down. So that's all I got.
Yeah, it's pretty coherent, I would say.
Snake missile.
Snake missile. Anyway, so to set the scene here for today, you all were at the beginning of a cave system underneath the desert that Milos had guided you to be able to rest in. And you guys were on your last watch, and I believe it was Milos and Marquise. And Marquise had noticed something far off on one of the dunes. There was a caravan approaching. While they are a very peaceful type of people, they will show no mercy to anybody who really messes with them. However, they were met by a group of Hrothgar wearing what looked to be ancient royal armor. And there was something odd about these Hrothgar. Seemed to shimmer in the morning sun of the desert, even though it shouldn't be hot enough for any type of mirages or anything at this point in time. And that is when a figure appeared behind them. Very large person, robed in white, the green mask, silver trim. And he ordered the Hrothgar to attack, and they wiped the Gariff out in a matter of minutes. And Marquise had overheard, "Find the traitor prince, find the traitor queen." And that is where we will start this episode.
I think they want you.
What?
I think they're looking for you.
Why would they be looking for me?
I don't know. Do you know any other princes in the area?
I mean, would I know of any royalty in Ephrester?
No. You know that your aunt is considered to be head of the family at this particular moment, so any royal family is your family.
I mean, we don't have princes in Hrothgar society. I don't know why they would be looking for me. I'm not a prince.
Well, you're royalty, correct?
Yeah, but royalty isn't the same with us. It's not like it's a bloodline thing. It's a did you kill the last queen in combat type of thing.
So if someone were to be called a traitor prince or a traitor queen, what would that mean to you?
That someone might want to take her throne, I guess, at that, or they don't see her as the queen. Like they want to put in a new sort of government. I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me. I've never heard of anything like this before.
Well, I've got a feeling we're about to find out.
Marquise, as you're watching this group of Hrothgar, they are very rigid to their marching order, and they all stand there and salute, and then all of a sudden they part to different sides, and you see another figure, this one dressed head to toe in full armor, wearing what looks to be like a white overcoat with red pants, gloves, full helmet covering their face, very ornate helmet, full cape at their back. This figure is very familiar. You saw them in Emerald as part of the assault forces. And you overhear with your last perception roll. Do not kill the prince. Take him alive.
Okay. Well, I'll say the good news is, if it's not you, or whoever it is, they want him alive. So, you have to figure out what do they want with him.
If it is me they're looking for, I probably should try and disguise myself in some fashion if we're traveling out in this refugee camp. I don't want to be spotted and potentially put anyone else in danger.
Do you have any sort of magic that can help you do that?
I mean, I have a cloak and I have this armor, and I mean, I can probably throw some rags over my face to kind of give myself some sort of disguise. I mean, I look at my giant paws and my furry legs. I can't do much about those. I can roll down my sarong more so it's more modest. Because I have, like, knee-length sarong, I could probably do, like, full, like, all the way down to my feet. I don't have any gloves that can fit my hands to cover that, but, I mean, we're all Hrothgar, so it's not like there aren't others. I'll make sure to maybe hide my tail, too. I can't really do... I can cover my horns, too. That might be a good idea.
To make sure that any distinguishing features are obscured.
Definitely my horns. My tail is a little harder to notice, but definitely the horns I'll have to cover that with some sort of cloth.
So, are you guys are at the last watch. Are you waking anybody up before you start preparing? It does fortunately look like this platoon of about 15 Hrothgar are starting to fan out. Some of them do stay behind and search through the gear of belongings, but they are starting to fan out kind of in a search pattern.
Oh, like they're coming our way type of thing?
Some of them are. They're good.
Well.
65 feet off yet, though. Marquise was able to kind of eagle eye them.
They're actively looking for us right now, and they're not far away. Maybe we should wake everyone up and go into the cave? Because, I mean, looking around the immediate area, right, it's just open desert, right? There's no, just nothing that can really hide us, even.
No, I mean, there's different varying levels of dunes that once you crest them, you know, you might be out of eyeshot, but for that moment where you're at the top, where you're going to be in plain view.
I would prefer we don't interact with these people at all. Maybe we head a little bit in the cave and see if they actually come in. I mean, we don't know how dangerous this cave system is, but I don't know if we should actually use it as a way of getting around. It might be a good hiding spot for us, though. I think we should all hide.
Well, I don't really know what other options we have. They seem to have handled a lot more than us quite swiftly. So, yes, I guess we can try hiding. See if that's a nice trick that works.
Yeah, I will I'll just start waking people up and saying there's some people coming looking for us potentially, and we need to hide further into the cave. And I'll just spread that knowledge around.
So, you're all woken up by Milos, who gives you this information. You probably have a few minutes to prepare to make way, whatever your chosen path is.
You want us to go in more to the cave?
Well, they're outside, and there's not a lot of cover outside to hide. So it's either we go farther in the cave or we fight. And they were pretty beefy.
Why did they trap us in the cave?
Then we. I mean, the cave system stretches miles. I mean, we could get lost in here easily.
Oh,
but
that's very unsettling.
Really selling this cave.
We don't have options.
But what if we get lost forever and we die down here?
What if we just wait for them to leave? I'm gonna hide in the cave and wait for them to leave.
That was my suggestion. We hide in the cave, don't actually use the caves, but we hide in the caves and wait for them to pass over.
How will we know if they leave if we we can't see out of the cave.
How about I become a bear and I scare them out of the cave?
If they show up, roar and run in.
Yeah.
Hopefully they might try and kill you.
Well, hopefully they don't.
Poppy will stay with you.
Can you become something smaller and a little more... they might be able to hide behind rocks a little better.
Also, I don't think bears live in a desert, so that would be a...
bear in a cave in the desert.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, something native to the area and
inconspicuous. Can you turn into a snake?
Yeah.
You could just hide in a corner as a snake.
Oh, I can hide. I was wondering if we should just scare them off.
Oh, they might not.
I don't know that they're going to be scared by a bear. They just slaughtered an entire village worth of people.
Oh, that's what? That's where?
Don't worry about them right now. It's not important.
Ellie looks out the cave.
She needs to summon them.
Send, yes. Send,
that's what
Ellie
says.
Just like,
yeah.
Go ahead and roll me perception.
Okay. What's my perception? Oh, I got a plus 7.
Well,
rolled a 1.
I rolled a 1.
There's not even anybody out there.
There are people coming, but you don't see any dead bodies or anything.
Are people coming towards us?
What? Yeah, they're kind of in a search pattern, and they're fanning out through the desert.
There's no dead.
They're people. Not hiding themselves.
There's no dead people. There are living people walking this way. Wait, do I notice that they're shimmery?
Probably not.
No, not with your 1.
Huh. Okay, let's go hide in the cave. Somebody has to pick up Becky.
Ellie has swaddled her in a blanket like she's sleeping.
It's okay, she's just sleeping. It's fine.
Just a burrito.
Yeah.
Burrito Becky. Oh, bear in the cave was awesome.
You can be a bear in the cave if you want to.
Just while we're preparing to head in, I will quickly try and commune. Just so I can get my elements for the day. Absolutely. In case we actually do need a fight.
Yep. So you focus, and of course you feel the earth beneath you. You also feel fairly highly attuned to the wind and water here.
I think I'll do earth and wind.
Okay. Are you asking a question?
Is Brobnir safe to travel to?
Which element are you marshaling?
I will marshal wind.
Wind. Is this your first wind marshaling?
No, because that was the one that got one shot last time, right? Am I remembering?
I think that was light.
That was light.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It is the first time I'm doing wind.
So you can describe what your wind marshal looks like. Your
wind sprite. I will say it is a slender, like, hourglass figure of just, like, tornado with, like, I think, like, almost Air Ganassi. Like, small, slender head with, like constantly moving arms. And she... I haven't figured out her name yet. I'll think about it. But she's, like... Think Air Ganassi.
Right? Yeah.
That's what I'm picturing.
So, the wind picks up. You obviously don't get a worded answer, but the wind picks up in the direction of Brobnir, and it feels hot. Searing wind. You get the feeling from your wind elemental that it's not a safe place to be right now.
Okay, well, if we have to use her in combat, let me know stats, but, for right now, would I know if she could just, like, create, like, a dust storm or something? Is that something I would know from this, like, kind of give us some cover of some sort?
I mean, she would be able to create a Twister herself, but, the appearance of she'd be in the middle of it, so...
Right.
The appearance of a sprite might set people off.
I'm thinking more like long term, not like immediately right now.
Oh, yeah.
More like something that could give us cover if we wanted to travel during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, sorry, continue.
It's okay. But yeah, that warm wind blows from the east in this cave, indicating for sure that Brobnir is not not safe at the moment. But you have marshaled. Anybody else preparing anything else?
I'll try and re-up on as many potions as I have available.
You have about maybe 10, 15 minutes. So I'd say you'd be able to mix maybe two real quick. That's plenty. Anybody else doing anything? Are you transforming before?
No, I'll just wait.
You're gonna wait? Mm-hmm. Okay. Ellie?
I'm preparing my spells for the morning. How big is the opening of this cave?
The mouth of the cave is maybe about 15 feet wide. Enough for three people to pass into the cave without touching shoulders.
I mean, I have hallucinatory terrain. I could make the entrance just look like more sand.
It's up to you. If you want to try it, I'm not going to be mad that we are covering our tracks, but I also don't think we should just sit and wait and hope that they don't see through your illusion.
Yeah. It's also a fourth level spell, so...
That's a commitment, right?
Let's just go hide the cave.
I agree.
So, what are you guys doing?
Going into the cave.
Din, are you staying back?
Are you going to stay back and guard and to let us know when the entrance is? They come in through the entrance?
Oh, that's the plan? I knew that.
Right. You can hide behind a rock.
Sure. If I'm alerting us.
Yeah.
I'll turn to...
And then the rest of us can go in maybe like 100 feet.
So you're going back 100 feet then?
And I'll transform into my snake.
Into your snake. Okay.
Well, wait, actually... No. I'm going to do my Moomba, I think.
Moomba?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, are you trying to hide at the entrance?
Oh, I was hiding a little bit further in where I could see them.
Okay. So let me start with a stealth check from you.
Guidance. Touch you as I walk away.
Is that it?
Gives you a
d4. Oh, okay.
Stealth.
That's 18, and then the d4? Uh-huh. Oh, 22.
All right. As the rest of you move further back into the cave and find yourself a spot. There are some edges to the cave where you might be able to press your body against, especially since it's darker back
it's not
here.
Not like straight back, is it? Is mm-hmm. there like curves and stuff, or is it
not just... yet?
Oh,
you guys go about 100 feet back, and it seems to get rougher as you go back. Like the cave structure, it starts to like look like, you know, different erosion patterns have been wearing away, like a limestone almost.
Should we go back farther until there's a curve?
You guys can see the entrance of the cave here at this 100-foot. It's just kind of a little speck of light, but if you go back further, it does start to bend.
I think we should go for it until it bends. What do you think?
I can try and mold some of the earth away, potentially, to kind of give us little outcroppings that we can hide in.
The sides of the cave are stone, not earth.
But is the ground dirt?
The ground is sand. So you could move the sand around, but you might not be able to get it. Like, you could make little piles too if you wanted to like hide behind it. But it is sand, so it's going to behave like sand.
Right. Okay. Well,
maybe we should go back until it curves a little.
We can keep going back a little ways.
Because Poppy glows, Ellie takes her up and swaddles her in a cloak.
Fair enough. So.
I will minor illusion my horns away.
Okay, sounds good. I need stealth rolls from everyone.
Who doesn't have advantage? Who has disadvantage? You? Mm-hmm. Guidance.
Ellie?
18.
Nope. 17.
Milos?
19. 19, nice. Marquise?
12.
And Dead Becky and Asher.
Oh, I also have Dead Becky. 16.
16? Okay.
You could just lay it down and put the dead body on top of you so you look like a pile of dead bodies.
Yeah. Jesus. Wow.
Okay. So.
Oh, I don't think that Ellie would take it.
You don't think so? Okay.
No. It's Becky's. Maybe if Becky's permanently dead, but...
By the way, the bangle that you and Becky had shared does not glow anymore. The bangle twinning no longer glows.
My twin died.
Yeah, I forgot about that thing. I didn't even know
what it is. Ellie just starts silently weeping as she realizes her bangle's not glowing.
So, within about 15 minutes, Din, you start hearing paws in sand. Three figures, Hrothgar men. They are very large, armored. All of them are carrying multiple weapons, except for one at the back. He has a familiar, well, somewhat familiar implement hanging from his belt. It looks like a handbell. Somewhat similar to the one that Milos wears and uses when he casts spells. The two soldiers with weapons come to the cave entrance and start scanning around. Let's see if they notice you. For now, they seem unaware of your presence as they start to slowly move into the cave. The one at the back waits a few minutes until the two armed soldiers get about 15, 20 feet in. Then the man with the bell starts to move into the cave. He gets about 15 feet in, letting the guards kind of stand at different angles, one kind of off to the right, one to his left. And he kneels down to the ground and puts his paw on the ground, grabs his bell, and gives it a ring. And you see these little vibrations start to go out from his paw through the ground. His face, his Hrothgar armor, kind of is covered with, like, a veil. And you don't really see his eyes, but you do hear him start to smell. And he takes a few deep breaths. Something lives here. And he looks back at the entrance and calls... Call the others. What are you doing?
I don't think my link pole works, right?
What's that?
I don't think my link pole works in this form, but it doesn't.
That's
a thing, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah, your armor does get melded into your body, unfortunately, so you don't have access to any of your equipment at this point.
But we're only 100 feet in.
Mm-hmm. You guys see all of this as well?
What is living here?
I think we live here.
We could be talking about something that seems to be more permanent.
Another two Hrothgar, these two with what looks to be like bows and arrows on their back.
Oh, fuck.
Push into the cave.
Can you hear anything from farther in the cave, or does it just sound like dripping stuff?
Go ahead and give me a perception check.
How close are they?
Oh. 18.
You hear at first what you think to be like running water. Then you listen a little bit closer and feel the vibrations of the earth underneath you, Milos. And that's not running water, that's running sand.
Okay. So I feel sand moving almost like a river. Mm-hmm. Would I know if that's like a sign there's like quicksand in here or something?
Perhaps in here, or maybe above the cave itself, dripping in from the top of the cave.
Okay. But I don't hear, like, any, like, breathing or anything, like, animalistic or anything.
No. The rush of, like, this stream of sand seems to kind of mask any smaller noises. But these figures are pressing in. They've just passed Din at the mouth of the cave, and they are pressing in. They're getting a little bit closer. They're about 50 feet away from you guys.
We should go deeper in the cave.
How close are they to each other?
not very close. They are spread out.
You said that the cave wasn't very wide.
The mouth of the cave is not very wide.
Okay. Are they going to hear us if we run? I mean, let's go back farther then.
Let's keep going.
Somebody tell Din we're going in farther.
Would I be able to hear that? Yeah.
They don't know that, though.
Let's keep going. Oh. I remembered that I had this spell. That's what I was looking for. Well, but it's verbal, and I don't want them to hear me. Let's just keep going.
Suddenly, the geomancer that is amongst them holds up a hand for the company to stop, and they start turning in your direction, Milos. And he reaches down, and he gives his bell a little flick, and there's kind of this reverberation that you feel through the earth. He is sending geomantic waves out, searching.
Would I know if that's like a common tactic of like trying to find other geomancers or just people in general? Or
it's kind of like an echolocation for anybody touching ground for a geomancer. They are searching for something that's not supposed to be there, something that maybe moves. Think of it like a tremor sense almost.
So we should all stand really still.
If I feel that, I would like quickly try and make everyone stop. Because if I knew that that's what he was trying to do, I would be like, oh crap, we can't continue to move because they're going to feel that, right?
You definitely know that he would feel that.
So I would be like, quick, stop!
So as everybody's preparing to like move back, you hold up your hand and like everybody kind of stops in their tracks.
Becky's doing the best job.
Oh!
MVP.
Would I be able to tell that, like, wait, is there any other sign besides the bell ringing that he's, like, testing the ground, or...?
No. He just, every once in a while, about a minute or two between the ringing of the bell, he'll flick it again, and another wave of sound will go out from him, and he just kind of starts to scan the area. You can't tell because he's has his back to you, but those in front of you that can see him at this... distance know that he doesn't even have his eyes open, and he is like dead set towards the back of the cave.
How far away is he from me?
From you?
Yeah.
Probably about 35 feet now. Your hearts start to kind of thud in your chest, especially you, Milos, because the ringing becomes closer. He's not moving forward, but he's doing quicker intervals, sensing for anything, any movement, and then suddenly he stops and he starts to raise his hand up like he's about to point to someone. His hand starts coming down in your direction. Right before it does, from the mouth of the cave, didn't you hear somebody say, "There's wreckage this way. They must have been over here." And the others turn to start leaving the cave. The geomancer doesn't leave right away, Milos. He kind of stares in your direction. It doesn't look like he's seen you. Then he turns around with a huff, and they leave the cave.
How long would it take me to change forms into something else?
It's a bonus action, I believe, to drop your form. Mm-hmm. So it takes a split second to change. 6 seconds to change back into yourself and take an action.
And he was the last one to leave the cave?
He is guarded by the two soldiers that had escorted him into the cave. They were waiting for him at the mouth of the cave.
Okay.
They are definitely escorting him. He is some kind of superior that they are guarding.
Okay. So we'll stay in there.
So, they leave the cave, and it sounds like... Go ahead and make me a perception check, actually.
Oh, like 25.
25?
Yeah.
So, it sounds like they leave the mouth of the cave, but not very far. Maybe about 20 or 30 feet outside of the cave. Then you hear another set of feet. They're trying to be quieter, but it's only one set. And you see this figure enter the cave, and they're kind of sticking to the side of the cave, keeping an eye out towards the cave, but also like trying to slowly move into the cave. And you catch a glimpse of this figure in full armor. Travis, why don't you go ahead and describe your character?
What?
So you see this figure, and as he starts rounding the edge of the cave opening, he nearly blocks all the light pouring in through it. He is a very tall, massive man, at least 7 foot tall. And looking at him, you'd swear that he was just as wide as he was tall. And he is, though covered in armor, looks like he is very fit and muscular. And you see in profile, you catch that he has very dark hair, a curly dark mop on top, with a bushy black beard to complement it. He has what appears to be some sort of dark-colored eyes, perhaps amber, and a crooked nose, like he's been in many, many fights. His armor, you can just barely make out the detail here at the mouth of the cave. It appears like it is embossed with the image of overlapping feathers. And it was at one point painted black, but now it's been chipped off a lot from many, many battles and usage. And underneath the metal is kind of this dark grayish metal. And the thing that probably sticks out most about this man, other than he is massive, is that he has strapped to his back a huge sword that looks almost as big as he is. It is just this colossal thing, at least like a foot like thick from the back of the blade to the edge. And along it, there are, at the hilt, there seems to be like triggers and levers and mechanisms and a huge barrel that protrudes out of the metal. Along with a, it looks like another hilt built into the side of the blade as if it was made so that he could get better leverage swinging this thing. He starts looking around the cave and says, Milos, Milos, is there a Milos here?
Are you wondering what your favorite wacky nerds are up to? Search for Campaigns of the Plains on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook, and make sure to follow and like us to keep up with all our content and news. You might also find exclusive content for fans only. Remember to catch us on YouTube every Friday at noon for a new episode of Campaigns of the Plains.
You want me to go fight him?
No stage whispers.
I'll go fight him, Milos.
What the bloody hell is that?
I drop Poppy. Go bite his ankles.
Poppy is all of a sudden a light in the cave as you unswaddle her.
I forgot to come in.
So,
I forgot.
So Travis, your character sees all of a sudden this this blue light at the end of the cave suddenly appear.
Go bite his ankles. Go get him.
And he says, "Hello, little kitty."
Nope.
You know where Milos is.
I'm gonna learn, sound, bring Bucky back.
And, like, this little blue cat is like, trying to play off like it's an actual cat.
Go get him, go bite him.
And she just, like, looks incredulously at you, like,
you're supposed to be my summon, you're supposed to protect me, go bite him.
She kind of huffs, and then she starts, like, you see this blue glowing cat start running at you.
I think he's gonna try and grab it by the scruff of the neck.
Okay. Why don't we have an opposed strength check?
With Poppy?
With Poppy.
Poppy's
okay. Strength. Well, I just a check?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh god, okay.
It would be acrobatics. Or athletics.
I don't know. I mean, if you'll let me use athletics.
We're just going to call it a straight strength versus strength, so.
Well, I rolled an 11, and Poppy has a negative 2.
So that's a 9.
Nine.
Oddly enough, he also rolled a 9.
Oh. Attacker wins?
Believe so.
Attacker doesn't win.
So, yeah, it's a real dodgy little cat, but you manage to just barely grab it by the scruff of its neck, and, like, this cat's trying to, like, claw at you as you hold it out from you.
Ellie lets go of her ears and pops out. Hey! Put down my cat!
Your cat needs discipline. are you with Milos? We do not have much time.
No.
Go ahead and roll me insight versus bluff.
Bluff doesn't exist.
Deception. Forgot. My bad. Old editions bluff. And whatnot.
Sure, that is. It's not good. Insight. 8.
What was your deception? 6?
You beat her. Congratulations.
This is not the time. This is not the time for games.
If you're here to kill Milos, then you have to fight me first.
I do not want to fight you.
You're a liar. Wait, you don't want to fight me?
Wait, what?
You're a liar. Wait, what?
I save my blades and my shells for those who deserve. Okay. Please, you must come now. This is very important. I do not want to be delayed in my task anymore than I already
have. Not to trust strangers. I don't know who you are.
I am Gregor. Gregor is here to save you.
I've heard that name before somewhere.
Ellie
thinks
she's
thinking really hard.
I will step out from behind Ellie and say, how do you know me?
You don't know me.
I have been in contact with a person known as Nico. He has sent me to rescue you.
That's all I need to know. I immediately say, let's go, guys.
No, but Marquis said we're too trusting.
He knows my best friend's name. I trust that.
That doesn't mean that you should trust him. What if he killed your best friend? And now he's pretending to want to help you.
If he killed my best friend, I'm going to want to kill him regardless. So either we're going with him or we're fighting him. Those are our two options.
Okay. Can I have my cat back?
You may. And he gently puts Poppy back down on the ground and pats him on the head.
Poppy looks back at you confused and just like,
meow. I think we trust him. You can enjoy the pets.
And Poppy just kind of like beams back up at you, Gregor.
Good kitty.
Gregor, you are the first to notice. Well, you and Din, actually, are the first to notice there are more sounds of feet coming back this way. The little diversion that you had used to steer them into the path of the airship did not work as long as you had hoped.
I'm afraid
we are out of time. We must make our move.
What's our move?
Running as fast as we can.
Should we be sneaky? Do we need to be sneaky?
You know, Gregor, after traveling this way, that the best option is not going to be over the dunes, but through these caves. Unfortunately.
Fortunately, our best option is probably to go deeper.
Okay, wait.
No idea what's in these fucking caves.
We're going to get lost.
It is true, but you're with me. You will be fine.
Do you know your way? Do you have a map of these caves?
No, but I am strong.
30 seconds. And I have strength. Like, let's go with the guy. This is great. Now he's like, no.
Now hold on a goddamn minute.
Okay, wait. Everybody get close. Everybody get. Come. I'm Ellie, by the way. Hi. Nice to meet you, Gregor.
It is nice to meet you, tall bunny lady.
Okay, thanks. Anyway, Ellie starts digging in her little bag and she pulls out some. Well, it looks like trash.
Sure.
It's just like a burnt leaf and some green stuff, and she just like, and she throws it up in the air.
Confetti.
And casts Pass Without a Trace on everybody.
Are you targeting Din as
everybody.
Well?
Everybody.
What's your range?
Absolutely.
So I just saw this guy enter the cave.
What's that?
I saw the guy enter the cave and talk to him.
You saw Gregor, yeah. You...
Yeah.
Yep.
60 feet.
I was just still hiding at the entrance.
I was going to wait until everybody was near me.
Well, you're missing one.
Yeah.
Now wait for Din. I'll wait for Din.
Sure. I'll head back into the group then, seeing as there's a random person still with you guys.
Don't bite, Din.
Okay. You all of a sudden, Gregor, see this really odd cat lion-like creature come from the front of the cave from seemingly nowhere and suddenly turn into this feral-looking...
I did not change back.
You didn't change back? No, you just a Moomba?
Yes.
Okay, you see this this lion-cat-looking thing all of a sudden saddle up to the party as well. Another animal.
You have many strange cuts.
This is Din.
Din cut.
Like, salute.
This creature stands up and salutes you just like a humanoid would with its giant paw.
I appreciate the decorum, but we really must move.
I cast Pass Without a Trace on everybody.
Okay. It is time to move on because the feet are getting closer to you. The sounds of more and more feet are pressing in.
Don't forget Peggy.
No, Ash already forgot her. She's on the floor.
Ash!
Go back!
Wait.
It's just a rug. I look at Gregor. It's just our rug.
We really like
this rug.
These are a really good sale.
You are very strange people. If you are done with the antics, we should hurry along.
I'm never done with antics.
Yeah. It's constant. Let's go!
So you guys start moving back further into the cave system.
I swaddle Poppy again.
Swaddle Poppy again, smothering Poppy's light a little bit.
Yeah. I leave her head out so we can use her as a beacon of light in the direction.
Kind of like a lantern?
Yeah.
Sure.
Poppy lantern.
I love it. But you guys start moving deeper and deeper into the cave, and this cave seems to suddenly take a really harsh turn westward and then suddenly drop down into not super harsh angle, but it does seem to dip further down into the earth itself. Those of you at the back can hear what sounds like rifling and perhaps tracking. And Milos, you hear that familiar. You're the furthest one away. You hear, but more or less feel that vibration hit you again. But you know you're at the outskirts of it, where if you don't press on, that vibration is going to pick you guys up. But now, if you keep moving, you should be fine.
Fast.
Yeah, I will keep ushering people. Like, does this look like it's like a pit? Like, are we talking like it's a sand pit of just flowing sand, or
not yet? Like, no, this is just a cave going further down into the earth. There are a couple of like smaller holes on the outside of the cave where it seems like sand is dripping through, maybe into deeper recesses in the cave, but nothing large just yet. But go ahead and make me a perception check.
Is this something that I would be feeling or hearing?
You could definitely use your powers of geomancy to help. So I would allow you to have advantage if you channel your geomantic powers.
Sure. I will try anything once. 17.
17. You take a second and you feel the stone on the sides of the wall. Luckily, it's limestone, so it's a very good conductor of vibrations. Well, good and bad. But you're able to kind of sense what is coming up, or get a sense of what is coming up further in the cave. You feel and hear the vibrations of that sandy stream start to get louder, the vibrations getting heavier, and you feel like eventually, this particular cave is going to open up somewhere.
I will whisper that to like the nearby vicinity people. I'm guessing I'm in front to try and like lead us. And with very little light and dark vision. I will let everybody know that hopefully this is just like a straight shot and it'll just open up somewhere else. And not, you know, more underground. But we'll see.
We're going to die down
here. You're all going to die down here.
Right.
So, yeah, you press in further. And luckily for you guys, you have Poppy's little lantern giving a little beam of light, but it is getting to the point of being pitch dark down here. There's a little more light coming at the end of this particular tunnel. It's very dim. It looks like kind of a brownish light ahead of you all.
Let's go.
Would I know what a brown light might be? Is that like just sand, maybe? Like coming, like a bouncing off of our light source?
It might be a light source from further up, barely making it down into the deep recesses down here.
It should be fine. Well, let's press on.
You guys keep moving. At this point, with your perception open, Milos, you feel something change behind you all. Feels like footsteps are starting to quicken pace. They go from marching to a brisk, quick march.
Maybe we should go faster, too.
Yeah. I'll whisper to everyone, we need to hurry. They're gaining on us. I can feel it.
And Gregor is taking up the back of the party, keeping an eye out behind him, though he can't hardly see anything. But he's keeping his ears tuned for any approaching feet.
All right. So you all keep pressing deeper into this cave system, and that light starts to get a little brighter, and eventually it starts to open up into this rather wide cavern. There are a number of, like, limestone pillars that have been eroded away, so barely standing, leaving small pillars with kind of a sandstone erosion. And that sound, Milos, as you enter this cavern, is deafening in here, and you look towards the center of this cavern, and there is this giant swirling vortex of sand.
What's that?
A giant swirling vortex of sand?
Yeah.
That I would not recommend going in. Probably quicksand,
so what,
or something of the sort. Does it look like there's any paths around this giant pit of sand, or is it like it takes up the entire room type of thing?
It's taking a good 20-foot circumference of this maybe 50-foot circumference cavern. So it's taking up a good portion of the center of this cave, but the sand along the sides seems to not be stirred.
Is there another passageway on the opposite side of this room?
You see three caverns that might press on further beyond this point.
Can I tell anything right from before we cross, or is the swirling sand kind of preventing my senses?
It's definitely deafening your senses to anything else, because you try to feel in the earth for any kind of warning of anything else, but this sand, this twisting vortex of sand, just seems to like deafen your geomantic senses. But that might not be a terrible thing, because it may also hinder those who are following you.
Right. Let's make our way around, and we'll have to pick a path. I won't know until we get over there which one to choose. But at least hopefully defend us from incoming attacks from behind, from any tracking that they have.
Okay, let's go. Be cautious.
Okay. So you guys start to move around. Which side are you taking? Are you going left, going right? Are you sticking close to the wall, or are you kind of cutting it to the inside?
Are you asking all of us individually, or just me specifically?
I mean, everybody seems to be looking at you for which direction you want to take, since you are the one kind of feeling your way through this cave, Milos.
True. I will say, let's take the right path and stick as close to the wall as possible, but be quick about it. We want to make sure we can get at least into one of these other paths before they make their way into this room.
Okay. So you guys start cutting around the outside of this vortex. There's maybe about 10 feet to deal with on the outside before it starts to become shifting sands. What is your marching order?
Is it single file?
It can be double, but those pressing on the inside would be pretty close to the vortex, just as a warning. Certainly can be done.
Agar is still in back.
Okay.
I'd be right behind Poppy, because otherwise I can't see.
Yeah, I'll be in front of Asher.
Okay, so it's Milos up front. Who's behind Milos?
I can follow.
Dan?
I want to be second to last.
You want to be second to last? You're going to
be
right
here? I'll be behind Marquise.
Okay, Marquise, where are you?
Behind. Oh, I thought I was behind Milos.
Behind Milos? Okay. Yeah.
Are you still...
I'm a Moomba, yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
The three M's in the front. Oh, you're in the back.
Yeah, Milos, Marquise, and Moomba. No. So, Milos, Marquise, then Ellie, and then Asher, and then Din in Moomba form, and Gregor. And your Earth elements, wherever, in front, behind you...
Wind elemental.
Wind, I apologize.
I believe she can fly? I would assume she can?
I believe she can hover, so it wouldn't really matter where you placed her, but...
Right.
She'd probably hover right across the pit if you really wanted her to.
I mean, she can hover nearby. She doesn't have to be in specific order, but she'd be by me up front.
We have Raha.
Yep. I forgot Raha was there with you guys. Yes, he is interested in this person as well. Rahatia says, I will stick back by Din, I believe. So, I can guard Asher since he doesn't have a free hand.
Are you wearing Becky like a scarf?
I'm imagining he has her over the shoulder.
Holder.
Yeah, exactly. Becky holder. So he's got... one free arm, so right now you may not gain the benefits of your shield, or you can have a weapon out.
I thought I would use her as a shield.
Use her as a shield? Okay.
Sure, great idea.
Why
not a weapon?
Oh.
Oh, there you go.
A blunt so, Becky?
Yeah.
Maybe we should make her into a backpack for you. Strap her to your back.
She just warns you get piercing damage.
Right? So, yeah, Raha...
use Becky like a weapon. She'll be mad. She'll come back mad.
Who the fuck used me as a mace?
She probably did cold damage at least.
Yeah. This is an icy bitch.
Yeah.
So yeah, Raha's gonna squeeze in between Asher and Din and kind of guard Asher's back.
He wants to look at your butt.
Probably. anyway.
Milos, watch your man.
Anyway, so you all start to make your way into the cave, round of the outside. Don't say it again, please. Don't trigger me.
Where are we going?
You're going off to the right.
Why did you say round the outside?
No. You're going off to the right, and you're following Milos. Why don't I have Ellie and Asher make me a perception check?
I'm good at that. If I can roll high enough. Oh, natural
20. Nicely done.
27.
14.
Ellie's eyes just dilate.
Yep. You dilate right onto Marquise's feet because you see as he's starting to move. He's got black leather shoes, so he's kind of stark contrast to the brown sand that's in here. Enough for you to notice that as he's taking steps along the outside here, sticking to the wall... you notice that the sand that Marquise kind of kicks up, because you guys are walking through sand, you notice as you kind of watch his feet, that the sand keeps trickling down.
Towards
the pit. The top layer of sand just manages to catch your eye as it trickles down into the
guys,
pit.
Guys, be careful. The sand here is still trickling into the pit. Can I pick up some sand in my hand and hold it like this?
Are you tossing it towards the center?
I'll just drop it out of my hand.
Yeah, and you see that even though you didn't notice it right away, this is at an incline that you're walking at. It's a slight incline, but it's an incline towards the center of the room.
This is inclining, so be careful.
So, you guys make it about halfway around the outside of the room. Gregor, roll me a perception check. Din, also roll me a perception check.
22.
Gregor, what is yours? Into the mic, please.
23.
Okay. So, Gregor, you hear the footsteps that are coming behind you start to quicken pace. They go from a brisk march into kind of a jog now. And they are definitely gaining on you at this point as you guys work your way around the outside. Din, with all of the sand moving around here, suddenly something catches your nose and you take a deep whiff and smell something. A musk.
Like a creature?
Like many creatures. Oh. But you can't tell where it is because it is emanating from this room.
I can't talk in this one, can I?
No, you cannot!
Wolves don't talk,
do they? No, they do not. They make little purry noises.
We'll be fine. Good.
Okay.
I will tell the group, we must quicken our pace. They are approaching.
So, you guys start to quicken your pace. At this point, the three in front, Milos, Marquis, and Ellie, I need you to make me athletics checks.
Oh boy.
As you get past the middle portion of the outside of this cavern, and suddenly your feet start to slip from underneath you. Mm-hmm. Ellie?
15.
Marquise?
You said athletics?
Athletics.
Ha! 7.
Milos?
Yes.
I'll just jump into the fucking hole.
So suddenly, Milos, you place your foot and you feel it like a strong stream underneath you. All of a sudden, it comes out from underneath you, and it was the foot that was closest to the wall. So you immediately like fall down to your knees and you start like slowly sinking towards the center of this pit. And instinctually you grab onto Marquise, who is, just next to you and, make his, footing a little harder to become stable as well. And Marquise, you trip and you start to slide towards the center.
I'm right next to Marquise. Can I try to grab him to pull both of them back up to their feet?
You can make me an athletics check to try to grab onto Marquise.
Come, join us. We're going in the hole.
Okay, okay. 17?
You managed to grab onto, like, Marquise's beak. And you...
Always the beak.
And
I don't think there's a lot of grip on that thing. You should probably don't.
No, I just reach my fingers into the eye holes.
You see Ellie's claws kind of like dig into your beak in front of her, or the beak of your mask.
She does a little bit of her
mischanging
forms. Her nails grow and digs in.
And you like reach back instinctually to the wall and like dig your other set of claws in, and you stop Marquise from going anywhere, but you feel the weight of the sand like pulling him down. And
I really, really need to stop doing this. This is a very awkward
Milos position. You look to the center of the swirling, and everybody else can see this as well. You look towards the center of the pit, and sand stops twirling. It was twirling counterclockwise, and suddenly it comes to a halt.
Okay.
And starts to spin the opposite direction.
Okay, we need to go faster. Get ready.
And
up
you
here.
Hear,
oh my god. Is that a monster?
Suddenly, tiny pits begin to swirl about this room.
Oh, do you have monsters that live under the sand, Milos?
Yes, of course.
Oh, no. Okay, can I try to pull Marquise up and hopefully him help Milos back up so we can go faster?
That is currently your ability right now is to hold Marquise in place as the sand starts to shift harder. It's not that fine stream of sand that it was before. It is starting to tug down. Actually, you have Becky in arm, but you do have a free hand if you like to try to plant yourself and maybe grab on to Ellie and help her with Marquise. But Milos, I will give you the option real quick to make an athletics to try to grab onto Marquise's leg.
Can I have Gale help me? Like, try and like get around me and push me the other direction, since she's not touching the sand, right?
She's not touching. However, she's also not tethered, since she is hovering. So, unfortunately, right. She has no ground upon which to assist you. You get with her.
She can't just, like, full force push. Bump him?
Hmm?
She can't just fly into him and bump him? Like, bump him back forward?
even when she does, the sand is pulling at you hard. She has, like, hardly any momentum since she is hovering.
Right.
Yeah.
I will attempt to, like, pull myself out. I have a spell, like, I'm starting to cast a spell in case something goes wrong, because I got something. 15.
You manage to grab onto Marky's leg, like the bottom of his boot, to keep yourself from going any further. Ellie, this is putting strain on you.
And probably the straps of the beak.
Oh, wow. Asher, are you reaching down to try?
I assume Becky's on, like, one shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he could. I was thinking about, like, jamming the sword into the wall to, like, anchor, but I don't think that's going to help anything.
Yeah, I mean, you'd still have one arm on her and one arm on the sword.
You did a pit.
Bye, Becky!
So Gregor's in the back. So is there Asher and then Din?
In front of you is Din, Araha, and then Asher.
Okay, so three people. Mm-hmm. Would Gregor be able to somehow safely push ahead of these people to try and assist to pull the struggling people up?
Why don't you give me We'll call it an acrobatics check, because you're trying to dodge around these bodies as the sand in this room is starting to push in. So you're trying to keep
your balance. That's a 21.
21. Yeah, you manage to dodge right around the Mumadin and Araha and get in front of Asher and kind of push him back as he looks like he's like, what am I going to do? I've got this thing on my shoulder that I'm carrying, and he's, like, kind of contemplating shoving his sword into the wall there to try to give himself some leverage.
Gregor throws out a meaty paw to Marquise and says, grab onto my arm.
Okay.
Go ahead and roll me an athletics check, then.
That is going to be a 12.
12. So you grab onto Marquise, but with Milos hanging off of him, it actually becomes a burden more than a help. You don't tumble in, but you do lose footing a little bit. So you're not helping. You're not quite harming yet, but you're not helping.
As soon as I see them stumbling over, pulling Marquise and I out, I'm just going to cast Misty Step and just bamf. It's only verbal. I don't have any somatic, so I can still hang on and just teleport.
So you're teleporting where?
Forward. In, like, it's up to 30 feet to an unoccupied space, so I can, if I can get all the way across, I will do that. If not, as far as I can around the loop.
Yeah, so you're about 10 feet from the first cave that heads to the right when, Marquise, you feel a sudden lightness on the back of your feet. Yeah, and at that point, Gregor and Ellie are able to start, like, keeping you in place instead of sinking down into the sand. Din, are you doing anything?
Yeah, I'll jump up and change back into Din, then.
Okay, so all of a sudden, Gregor, you look back and you see this Mumba change into a woman.
Okay, I'm gonna help, too.
Oh, very strange people.
Could you help, as I'm holding, like this onto his beak, could you help?
Yeah, just fly over him.
Okay, so you spread your wings. You don't have much clearance, like, height-wise in this cave. It is more of, like, a kind of like an ovalish style shape as opposed to, like, a round cave. And you only have about 15-20-ish feet to the ceiling, so you're not going to be able to fly too high. But you start flying over there, and as you take off going forward, that means Raha is in the back, and he suddenly turns, and you see that there are four Hrothgars in full royal armor.
How far away are they?
What's that?
How far away are they from us?
From you guys? About 35, well, 40 feet from your location, circumference-wise. But your hands are currently tied, Ellie, so if you have any somatic spells, you cannot cast them currently.
We can cast Marquise.
I don't need to hold on to Marquise anymore. Somebody else is holding on to him.
But as you do so, you're letting go of Marquise and kind of handing him over to Din as Din flies over and, like, tries to grab him. Din, I need you to make me an athletics check, please.
Can I get him up to you? 11.
So you basically trade places. You're not really helping or hindering. But Ellie, your hands are free now, I guess, so...
Are they standing close to each other at that entrance, or...?
Two of them are, yeah.
Are they within 10 feet of each other?
Yep.
All of them?
No, not all of them. About just two of them.
Two of them? Wait, let's see what I got. Let's try it. I'm going to cast Confusion. Wisdom save?
Okay. So you guys see as Ellie starts to, is there somatic?
Yeah.
Okay. You start.
Oh yeah, I pick up some, Ellie's just throwing her snacks at people. Ellie reaches into her pouch and she pulls out some walnut shells and she crinkles them up and then she just like yeets them.
As you're about to like crunch them up and yeet them into these oncoming trespassers in this cave, you feel movement from underneath you like a tremor. And you, like, have to steady yourself. It stops you for a second before you cast a spell. And everybody's standing. You feel this tremor. And all of a sudden, this head of this giant insect pops out from the middle of the sand.
Oh.
And leans back with these giant pincers and goes... And reaches into the front of the cave and grabs the first two Hrothgar with its pincers and snaps them up and eats them. And you see the spray of pyreflies as soon as it crunches down.
Ellie's like holding the nuts, getting ready to throw. Sorry. Well,
the sand around is still spinning, still pulling Marquise. And near you, Milos, a small cyclone of sand starts to churn. And over on the other side of the room, three more small cyclones of sand. Back by Araha as he draws his blade, another small circling of sand and more.
Can I throw the nuts at the giant creature instead?
And that is where we will resume next time.
No. I want one. Okay.
What the fuck?
thanks for tuning in, guys.
Oh no.
We hope you liked this episode. Make sure to do all of the fun social media things for us. We definitely appreciate it. And we'll see if these guys survive next time. Join us. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for watching, and we'll see you next week. Make sure that whatever platform you're watching or listening on, you are following and or subscribing. If, for those of you on YouTube, make sure you go down below and let us know what you thought with a comment and give us a like if you could. Subscribing, hit that bell. If you're on any of our podcast platforms, make sure you are following. And if any of them allow you to comment, go ahead and do so. We do pay attention and it helps us to know where to go forward.